हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 20. Lord Chaitanya instructs Sanatana Goswami in the science of the Absolute Truth. Page 130, 220, 185 to 192. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Again, the vilas forms are divided into twofold categories, prabhava and vaibhava. Again, the pastimes of these forms are of unlimited variety. The chief quadruple expansions are named Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. These are called Prabhavilas. Balaram, who has the same original form as Krishna, is himself a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and he considers himself a member of the Kshatriya race and Dwarka. Thus his color and dress are different, and he is called a pastime form of Krishna. Sri Balaram is a Vaibhav Prakash, manifestation of Krishna. He is also manifested in the original quadruple expansions of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. These are the Prabhav Vilas expansions with different emotions. The first expansion of the Chaturvyuha quadruple forms is unique. There is nothing to compare with them. These quadruple forms are the source of unlimited quadruple forms. These four Prabhava pastime forms of Lord Krishna reside eternally in Dwarka and Mathura. From the original quadruple expansions, 24 forms are manifested. They differ according to the placement of the weapons in their four hands. They are called Vaibhav Vilas. Lord Krishna again expands and within the Paravyoma, the spiritual sky. He is situated in fullness as the four-handed Narayana, accompanied by expansions of the original quadruple form." Srila Prabhupada. "At the top of the Paravyoma, the spiritual sky, there is Goloka Vrindavan, which is divided into three parts. Two of the parts, called Mathura and Dwarka, are the residence of Krishna in his Prabhava Vilas forms." That's within
the fourth.
Prabhava. Oh, okay, down here. This is all in Tade Katmaruga.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Balaram, Krishna's Vaibhav Prakash, that's up in the top here. Vaibhav Prakash. Okay. Balaram, Krishna's Vaibhav Prakash, is eternally situated in Gokula. From the quadruple Prabhava Vilas, 24 forms of the Vaibhav Vilas are expanded. Each has four hands holding weapons in different positions. The topmost planet in the spiritual sky is Goloka Vrindavan, and below that planet is the spiritual sky itself. In that spiritual sky, Krishna himself is four-handed and is situated as Narayana. Yes?
Just trying to clarify, then the 24 Vishnu, they come from one form, not that the four, then the next four, then the next four.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm not sure if that will be coming up. Is that, if that's being quoted in here? The 24 forms is coming up. Not sure if he's giving. Means the four, means you have the four. Sankarshan is the one who then he expands out, and then you get another quadruple form.
Right.
And then from that form, then each one has a certain amount that comes out of them. Then of those that have expanded, then there's some more that come.
Okay.
So I think there's a few of them that are, there's a couple of them that are expanded in that kind of like the third expansion out of that Chaturvyuha. Mm-hmm. And then that makes 24. Mm-hmm. Then Sankarshan will expand again into another four that expands and you get 24. Then Sankarshan expands, like this is unlimited.
Okay.
So it's Sankarshan who expands. So it's just like Krishna expands into Baladev, but then Baladev expands into the others. Like that. That's how it, like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. Though I think Prabhupada will mention in a purport that some will say it's Vasudev who will expand and then from there. Because the point being is that Vasudev means you're going to have all the features of the other three are all manifest by Vasudev. Because he's taking the position of the Abhideya. Like that. You know, of performing the pastime. So even though it's all expanded around them, the Vasudeva will be the central feature. Even though Sankarshan is the one expanding, it's all about Vasudeva. So if you're looking at it by desire from the Icha Shakti, then it's Vasudeva. And so Balaram, or let's say Sankarshan, is just arranging those things, because we see is that then in that position, then the Sandini is what's expanding all the forms and everything like that. And that will be controlled then by Balaram and his expansions.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Same time as its Kriya is actually making it happen. But the point is it's just like, let's say, the field expands by your activity. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's happening in the field. So the sun, you can say Sandini, therefore, is manifesting all these. But you can also say Kriya is doing because of the action. Does that make sense? You can say all these things are produced from the kitchen, but because there's an action, then they're... So you can say it's that. And then you can say, well, it's because of the desire.
Right.
So, but each are dealing with a different aspect of it. Does that make sense? One's the existence aspect, and one's the willpower of it, and one's the desire. You know, desire for that experience. Does that make sense? So when you leave Krishna out of the equation, like the conditioned souls do, then the Hladini aspect doesn't really function very great. So that's why then creating situations, doing things in situations that manipulate the situation, for us, we'll call that happiness. Because the actual position and the prayojana means pleasing Krishna. So we don't actually deal with that. We just deal with the field. So in the spiritual world, the field is there, the devotees deal with the field to please Krishna. So therefore, then they have that highest happiness. But we just deal with the field. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so that's why happiness here is not very great. You're just dealing with and at the same time, it is, Maya won't give such, great experiences, because you're not supposed to be doing that. You know, you're supposed to be doing everything connected to Krishna. So,
yeah, if the field, if we take in an absolute sense, field being a Brahman, then Brahmananda actually, it's the closest to the living entity, because the Ananda of Bhagavan is like inaccessible. Nobody thinks about it.
Yes. So we're only working within Brahman.
Yeah.
And even that, it's a very small portion, because it'll be greater if you're following the rules with detachment. It'll be less if you're following with attachment, and then it's even less if you're not following the rules.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So it just gets less and less. But so that's why all these other things you can give a measurement to. But when it comes to the experience in bhakti, no measurement's given. It's unlimited. You can't measure it because you're in contact with Krishna, Bhagavan, directly. He's unlimited. So when he's happy, that means the happiness is unlimited. So you taking part in that pastime, you share in that unlimited happiness. Right? Because it's not about prestige and this and that. That's where it gets thrown off. That individuals are so worried about those things, then they miss out on. No, it's just Krishna being happy. It doesn't matter where you are if Krishna's happy. Does that make sense? Like you have a room full of people and something's happening, and one person, you know, who's a central figure, and they're very happy. Everybody in the room's happy. It doesn't matter if you're right there or not, if you did something or not. And so we generally take it that if the material, if the energy is transformed in this way, I'll be happy, because that's all we have here. So then we'll project that onto the spiritual relationship. Oh, if I do this, then I'll be happy. But the point is you're happy if Krishna's happy. So that's why then the service has to be to please Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that element of the samasti seeing from Krishna's point of view has to come into the picture for it to work. But any other kind of philosophies that come up, they're purely vyasti. They're simply looking at it from our point of view. We're looking at the effect. I deal with the effect. But I'm not considering the actual ultimate cause. So I'm dealing with the effect, so I'm the cause of the transformation, the effect. I don't see the original, the formal cause, and the original cause. And then, you know, does that make sense? So you can't actually claim that these are bona fide philosophies, bona fide approaches. Does that make sense? So then from that, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out is that, you know, when you're dealing with knowledge, you'll basically have two areas where we may misunderstand the nature of ourselves and the nature of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because the point is everything's connected to Krishna, and that's all explained, and then who we are in that relationship. That we're not seeing these things. And because of that, then we come up with all kinds of strange and wonderful ideas. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in here then it's Krishna's pleasure, and so Krishna is then expanding. Like that. He may be mechanically doing that all through Balaram, through Sankarshan, but that doesn't mean that it's not Vasudev who it's his will that the expansion's going on. But taking care of all that, then we see a Sankarshan's doing. Because it's Krishna taking that to do that work. Because if you're enjoying, wouldn't someone else do the work? If you're sitting with somebody enjoying
the system, we like it.
Huh?
It's a good system, we like it actually.
Which?
That we enjoy and somebody else does the work.
Yes, but that's what it is. As Krishna's there, the Icha Shakti is taking care, and the Jnana and Kriya, then they're doing the work. You know, so that's where it comes from. But we're trying to do all those things without Krishna. So then that's where the fault lies. So the living entities, because in the effect, you'll always be able to, it's coming from the cause, so the nature of the cause will be there in the effect. But we take it on its own and think, therefore, we can manipulate it and we can get all the benefit from it. You know, it's like, you know, he probably gives the example of the hand trying to, you know, eat the rasgulla. You know, it gives some sensation, but it's not going to be as much as if you put it in your mouth. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, so we're coming close to Satkaryavad. So can we say that Krishna is the original cause?
Yes.
In this particular discussion.
Right.
And then Balaram is efficient cause. He is the one who executes.
Yes.
His will.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And then of course Virat Rupa. Vairaja, whatever it is, that is a material cause. Because from there,
yes, and then you have the material cause, and then you have the jivas, then the material world as the what are they called in the material world? Are the four? Because you have the original cause, formal cause, then the material cause, and then the
instrumental. Jivas are the instrumental.
They're the instrumental, but they think that they're the efficient cause, but whatever, yeah, they're the instrumental. But in that mechanics is that, because in these things is that Krishna's he's doing everything. But if what you're doing is a different mood, like let's say he's in Vrindavan, then he's identifying as the son of Mother Jashoda. So now to expand things and create things, that's a different mood. So that would take on a different
form.
So therefore, then that would be these prakash. You know, was it? Vaibhava prakash. You know, like that. That aspect there, if it's there, but if it goes out farther, then it'll be the vaibhava vilas. So, you know, like this, it just takes on because you're doing a mood, so it's just like, let's say you're going to do some particular work. You get in a particular mood, you wear particular clothes, you want a particular environment to do that in.
Yeah.
You know? And so then you have all these different places for doing and all these things. But Krishna can do all that simultaneously. So he's expanding his everything. You know, but when he said this, because for us, see, is because rasa is the important element, right? Because when you get up to it, then when Lord Chaitanya is talking with Ramananda Rai, he's starting with performance of the prescribed duties, but that's just activities. You know, that's dealing with your duties and activities. That is dealing basically with the samvit aspect. You know, or even just the sought aspect, you know, because they want to get liberation. So liberation is just a situation. So they're not actually dealing with rasa. That's the weakness. So he says that's external, because rasa means the experience. Right? So external doesn't mean it's not an important aspect, but it's not the ultimate aspect. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say you're arranging some program, the external things are very important, only as much as they support the experience. But if you say, yes, you know, okay, so then what's the, you know, how you say, what's the ultimate experience? You know, just, okay, arranging all technical details in a party. Then you say, that's external. You know, what's the feeling? What's the, like this. Does that make sense? So that's the problem. So only at one point when it gets into where it's connected to Krishna, to please Krishna, now you're talking about something that's going to give that result in it, that effect in taste. Then he takes the taste up higher and higher. Right? So then if that's actually what you're looking at, because as we mentioned before, even in the psychology that we were discussing this morning, that was this morning, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just now. No, it was this morning.
No, it was now.
Yeah, because it's just like you just get. It's like we've been sitting here all day. It's like that. Okay. You know.
Seems like that.
Yeah, well, because it started to warm up, so it kind of seems like that. Well, what before it's like really cold, and you know, okay, that's the morning. You know, so. So then, well, because also the topics are becoming so intertwined.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes before it would be very different, and occasionally they would kind of connect.
Yeah.
And so then, because you're dealing with rasa, that's why this is prema chakshus, right? It's about the taste and all that. So then, a difference in taste is a very major thing. We don't necessarily consider it that way, but it's a major thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why then you make all these distinctions in who you know what is there and what's all, because all these make a difference in the taste and because of the particular functions or attitudes and different things like that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So therefore, then that aspect of taste is being the principal point. That's why then the details here, because we're looking at them just from the aspect of the situational or the particular activity. But the point is, as it says, manifestation of potencies and excellence is based on different moods or color. Right? So being a different mood, then it'll have a different different experience. Oh, you want the chair?
No, no.
Is it easier? We have a chair. If you're good on the floor, then go for it.
I'm on the chair and higher than you.
No, the chair means that you can sit there. Yeah. Because otherwise, normally someone else is sitting in the chair, but they seem to not show up on Friday, so the chair is empty.
They prepare the ceremony, no?
Yes, yes.
We have more chairs.
Hmm?
We have more chairs.
We have more chairs, okay.
Yesterday it was to Hasid Mahal.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
They decided not.
Yes.
So if we take Shankar's philosophy plus four Vaishnava philosophy, the Maya bodies, they worship impersonal Shiva. They say they worship impersonal Brahman, but actually they're all Shivites.
Yeah.
So this is what they do. Then Ramanuja, they worship Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, basically. This is their object, you know, that in Sri Ranga. Then the Madhvas, they worship Udupi Krishna, which is Krishna, but he is alone. They have, you know, his female friends, but it's not like really important. Then the Vallabhas, they worship Bala Krishna. Then the Nimbarkas, they worship Radha and Krishna, but it's always together. They don't have any separation.
No. It's perceived. For them, it's
Nitya, Nitya Vihar.
Yeah, something like that. They're always, yeah. I mean, then, their kunjas have names.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're always together. Well, for us, it doesn't appear that we necessarily have. Some trees have names and situations, but it doesn't appear that the kunjas specifically have names.
And then we worship, according to Raghunath Das Goswami, we worship Radhika. Krishna is there, but it's not like,
It means he's there in his connection with Radharani. It's not that we just worship Radharani. Otherwise, that would make us, it shocked us.
Right.
So it's how you say. You could say that this would be an aspect, is that those who worship Vishnu, they're Vaishnavas.
Right.
Those who worship Krishna, they're Karshnas. Those who worship Radharani, they're Gaudiyas. Like that. So that's our position, is that we're worshiping Krishna, but in his relationship with Radharani. So that makes it very specific. And that brings out a very specific mood. So, in other words, she knows how to please Krishna. And so, if we're interested in pleasing Krishna in the highest possible way, the only one that knows how to do that is her. And so then, why? Because she's the Sarup Shakti. She's the complete Shakti. That means Shaktiman means for every aspect of Shaktiman, there's a manifestation of Shakti. So she is all that complete manifestation. So for every one of Krishna's, you know, very whatever subtle desire, this, that, she's the energy of those. Well, everyone else is her expansions. But because they're connected with her, then as Brahma Samhita says, then they're permeated with that transcendental prema. Right? So that's the whole point. As you connect, then that's how it is. So we're worshippers of Krishna. Krishna's a central feature, but we do it only as serving Radharani. That's why we follow Rupa Goswami. So these things where they get into this thing and make politics and this one and that one come up with the... It's like, what, you know, what do they want? You know? You're going to get there and say, well, you know, I'm going to wear my blue jeans and all that, and it's time to go to the Rasa dance, you know, I'm going to wear my jeans. It's kind of like, you know, anyone's going to take you seriously there? Because it's about Krishna. And then they project, oh, but maybe Krishna this may. This is just pure modern academic speculation. It has nothing to do with reality. Because the point is you can only enter into those positions if you follow the acharyas. But if you're going to use mental speculation, you're not. But they try to sideline it that the mental speculation is actually a higher, you know, position. But that's dealt with again and again and again, practically in every verse, every prayer, every instruction. It always points out that through mental speculation, you can't know the Lord. He reveals Himself when you surrender to Him, not when you speculate about Him. It never says that. Because if you're going to go, what if? That's technically, if we want to look at, because we're dealing with impersonal aspects here, it's technically Jainism. Because their philosophy is shyadvad, maybe. Because maybe he wears, maybe he doesn't. You say this, but maybe he wears that. That's how Jains work. That's how they keep themselves busy. That's why, I mean, they've been doing that for thousands of years. So it works. So you can do it. You know, it has much more of a history than even the modern academy. So, you know.
They have art also to it.
Huh?
They have added art also to the illusory art.
And yeah,
the intricate art.
Have you ever seen the temples and that? Yeah. The way the floor, it's like an illusion. You go around, so it must have, because illusion is always something important to certain, you know, how you say, personalities that prefer their residence below the Bhumandala. Like that. Though at the same time, wanting the prestige of what's above Bhumandala. But yeah, whatever. So you have that thing of prestige mixed with illusion, mixed with what if. And that's how they became bewildered. So you can do all these things, but if you want to actually please Krishna, then you have to follow these devotees. So you can see, it's like we said here, there are those who are Vaishnavas, those who are Karshanas, and those who are Gaudiyas.
So if we go back to the chart, Gaudiyas are the only ones who worship Swayam Rupa.
They're the only ones who worship Swayam Rupa, and the only ones who are worshiping, you know, the
Shakti.
Yeah, that means the Sarup Shakti in its full form.
Yeah.
Others, it's just, in other words, those pastimes are nice. They want to take part in them. That's why all the other four, they're dealing with liberation. You know, it's to attain that they're associates, that they're this, that. That's not our goal. Our goal isn't to become an associate. Our goal is to assist in the Lord's pastimes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes, oh, but, you know, can we choose and this and that? And, you know, well, I don't want to be at the back. I want to be at the front. These are all contaminations of liberation. You know what I'm saying? You have those situations. Means that's the point, is that the Gaudiya position, when you have bhakti, all the points of liberation are included. But it's kind of like, for them, that's important. So therefore, that's why when it's very prominent, it's in Vaikuntha. When it's less prominent, then they're in Dwarka and Mathura. But when it's absent, that's Braj. Yes?
An interesting observation with our group, that after studying 15-16 chapter of Jiva Dharma, you know, we came to the conclusion, which wasn't even known to our own selves, that what we want is liberation.
Yes.
Because all those questions coming again and again and again and again and again means we're not satisfied with Krishna's choice.
Yeah.
We want our own choice, which is liberation. We just don't want to suffer this way or the other.
Yeah, yeah. So that's there. Because remember, also a few years ago, it comes up when you see the intense separation and all that. We're thinking, oh, well, why we call this happiness?
Yes,
and stuff like that. So that's the difficulty that these we're looking at getting out of the material world, because it's been a bad experience. So it's naturally. That may stay for some time, but as one gets a taste in Krishna consciousness, then these things, they pale in importance. So the point is this: once someone has taste or ruchi, then these kind of questions will start to fade. They don't have any meaning anymore. You know, because then it's already like the glimmerings of you know, the bhava in its natural state. Yeah. You know, ruchi means very small, but it's still bhava. But it's that, but it's called ruchi when it's that small.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if I have. If I have a full meal, I call it that. If I have only part of that full meal, I call it a snack. And if I have just something from that, I just call it a taste.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So ruchi is just that taste. Asakti is the snack. But bhava is the meal.
And the premise is the feast.
Yeah. That's the eternal feast. Yes.
8 levels of that.
Yeah, and then there's 8 levels of that, you know. So then you have feast, bigger feast, more feast, total feast, absolutely total feast. Yeah, so that's what we're dealing with. And before that, then it's still the potency of bhava, but it's just bringing you closer, because bhava means it's about Krishna. You have that faith in Krishna, that exclusive focus on Krishna. And bhava perfects itself as that exclusivity becomes complete. So that means is what's happening before ruchi, it comes because there is that stability. Right? Nishta. So you're regularly doing, you have the faith that bhakti is what's going to work. If you have an idea of something else is going to, then it'll be below that. So it'll be anishta bhakti. So it won't generate the platform of taste. You know, now and again, because you perform devotional service, you're going to get a taste.
Yeah.
That's why devotees stay practicing Krishna consciousness. So there's a taste there, but it will come and go. Mm-hmm. But in the platform of ruchi, it's all about taste. That's just, you know, just like when you say the platform of faith, it means that, you know, that when someone has that, once just come into it, that's all they think about. Someone came across the devotees, that they said things that convinced them, that's all they think about. So you call it Shraddha. Right? And then it's about being with devotees and, you know, like that, then it's called Sadhu Sangha.
Yeah.
Right?
I think previously we discussed that there's a slight difference between any of those situations being a stage which has beginning, middle, and end, and the process which is spread throughout the whole thing.
Yes.
Means on the level of Shraddha,
mm-hmm.
we go through, then we enter Satsanga.
Right.
But Shraddha is still there, but yes. Not as a stage, as a continuation of the process.
Yes.
So same with Ruchi, it manifests sometimes.
Yes.
But not very often. This being part of the process, but doesn't mean we achieve that stage of ruchi.
Yes, yes. It's just like when any of the other stages are going to be there, but just in a small fragment. But the point is just a small fragment of transcendence is going to be greater than anything experienced in the whole Mahatattva. You know, you put the whole Mahatattva on one side, and you put, you know, a fragment of a portion of a drop of you know, of bhava on the other side, and you'll break the scales. You know, like that. So that's why one is attracted, because it's the natural position. It's naturally what the living entity would be doing. It's natural for them.
Yeah.
So that's there. Because service is the inherent nature of the living entity. That's what cannot be changed. You know, faith can change.
Yeah.
But the nature of the jiva, of the dharma, of the jiva can't be changed, because you will serve. So whatever you're serving, you know, how you say, the family or the country or this or that. And as Prabhupada points out, even you have the president of the country, he still has to serve the people. He's not just, he sits back and enjoys himself. Like that. So everyone is serving. It's the one thing you can't change. So no matter what faith, what religion, what practice, they all are serving something. You know, we'll put it on the aspect of, oh, he's controlling, he's enjoying, because that's our distraction. But you see is that, you know, the guy's, you know, how you say, putting in 12 hours a day in his work and all that, you know, so he's serving, you know, money, you know, or serving his company to get that money. So he's serving something, you know, serving power, or serving this, or serving the senses, serving something. You can't get away from that. So if one looks at that aspect, then the sad, that's dharma. So the sad dharma is that's applied to Krishna, because that's the eternal dharma. When you start from there, because that's the beginning of how Lord Chaitanya discusses, when you start from there, then the all these other questions start to go away. Because we're looking at it, well, will I be happy? Will I be this? No, your business is serving. That's that you're doing it anyway. Why not get the eternal benefit? Why not be in your natural position? Yes. Yeah. Is that?
Maharaj, I have a question about the Chateau Viva. About the Chateau Viva.
Yes.
So there are the first one and the second one. There are other Chateau Viva after?
Yes. Means you have the first and you have the second.
Yes.
But it's from the second, that's what expands, you know, everything in Vaikuntha.
But in a different, not in the same way that the Chateau Viva.
Yeah, same Chateau Viva.
Again and again.
Just again and again.
Okay.
That's what he said, is that yes. You have the Chaturvyuha,
yes.
Then from Sankarshan expands another Chaturvyuha, then expands out into the 24.
Yes.
Then Sankarshan will expand again,
yes.
You know, into the Chaturvyuha, who expand into the 24. Okay. Then again it goes like that, it's unlimited. Yes. So as quickly as they're expanding, the everything, the Kriyas, Shakti and is expanding everything. That's why the spiritual is unlimitedly expanding.
Yes.
Material world, because you know you got always, how do you say, there's always one in the crowd, you know, so then it ends up here. Yeah, and so it's expanding, but it's always going to be three parts and one part.
Yes.
Like that. So it's unlimitedly expanding. As we see, each one of them is the same. But there's a different mood.
Yes, yes.
So that's why it's not that Sankarshan, we say Sankarshan has the qualities of Jnana and Bala. It's not that he doesn't have the other four qualities.
Yes.
I mean, because he's Bhagavan also.
Yes.
So he has all six qualities, but he predominantly manifests those two. Well, Prajumna will be Virya and Aishwarya, and Aniruddha will be Tejas and Shakti. But Vasudev will have all six of those, and in the performance of pastimes. So he's the central feature in the pastimes in rasa. Right? But all the expansion is all being taken care of by Sankarshana. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is that something? Yeah. So like that, then it's all.
In this spiritual world, everyone is a person.
Everyone's a person, everything is conscious, everything is personal. There's no such thing as impersonal. The impersonal means it's generic. You know, like I say, oh, all these scooters on the road, you know, are making so much noise. But that's an impersonal statement because you're talking about the generic position of scooters. But those scooters are there and they're individual scooters. So the Brahman just means the generic aspect of it. But the qualities are there, everything. Otherwise, how does the material world manifest? How does the spiritual world manifest? It manifests from Brahman. Because all the qualities are there. Brahman is the effulgence of Krishna. And it's the effulgence of his qualities. And so that's what's expanded. Everything grows on that. Like the example is you have dirt. It looks like one thing, but from it you get all these different plants and everything. It all comes from Brahman because it has the qualities. It's generic, and from that you can get all the specific qualities. Is that? So that's the whole thing is for us, there's the person, and from that person it's expanding the Brahman that everything's sitting on. It doesn't start because we like to start from our vision, and then it goes Brahman, and then because of that effulgence, you don't see Krishna. But it actually it's coming the other way. Does that make sense? You know, because we're an individual, we'll see from our perspective, but you have to bring our perspective in line with Krishna's perspective.
It seems like it is the role of the acharya.
Yes, that's what the acharyas do.
Again and again.
Yes, that's why they say these things over and over again. Yes. Otherwise, if you take the basic philosophy, they can say it in a few, you know, in very short, very concise, you know, one verse, a few verses.
Yes.
Then each one of those, you can expand out, each one can have, you know, many volumes of books just explaining the one. You know, it's like in this is the first verse of Bhagavatam. You know, it has such a big purport, you know. And Jiva Goswami has a huge purport. And, you know, all the acharyas, it's like that. And they're all saying something different. You had Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Spoke, huh?
30 days.
30? Oh, I heard 90.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 90. But
many days.
A lot of days.
Many days.
A lot of days. He spoke and never repeated himself. But he only spoke on the first verse because someone says, oh, is this and that? How much is there? You know, you're saying the same. And so then he just spoke on that one verse for. But in any case, it's a long. It means if we had one verse and we had to give class every day on the same verse, it might not. You know, one day, 2 days, 3 days, you know, and then, you know. Yeah, then you just have a kirtan.
Same melody every day. Same melody every day.
Yeah, same melody. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Did we finish the purport?
Yes. 193.202.
Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues. Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Thus, the original quadruple forms again manifest themselves in a second set of quadruple expansions. The residences of these second quadruple expansions cover the four directions. Again, these quadruple forms expand three times, beginning with Keshava, that is the fulfillment of the pastime, Vilasa forms. Okay, so that's why then it means Vilasa, right? So that's because the pastime is there. They expand because the first one, then the first one they just are there,
yes.
But then the other ones, then they're the ones that do all the expansions like that. So again, expand three times, beginning with Keshava. So that means four, three, you get 12 there. And then there's expansions again.
Two
from each that's been expanded?
Yeah, again two from each of the four.
They're not expanding from who's expanding. It's not Keshava then expands and you get...
No. From the Vasudev Shankar Shankaradeva. It will become.
Oh, okay. And they are named differently according to the position of their weapons. The Vasudeva expansions are Keshava, Narayan, and Madhava. The expansions of Sankarsana are Govinda, Vishnu, and Madhusudana. This Govinda is different from the original Govinda, for he is not the son of Maharaj Nanda, right? Because his mood is different. His mood is I am God, right? The expansions of Prajumna are Trivikrama, Vamana, and Sridhar. The expansions of Aniruddha are Hrishikesha, Padmanabha, and Damodar. Oh! Wow, that's right here. That's cool. Because I know it comes up in, I'm not sure where, but in Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami mentions this. Like that. These 12 are the predominating deities of the 12 months. Keshava is the predominating deity of Agrayan, and Narayan is the predominating deity of Paush. The predominating deity of the month of Magh is Madhava.
Those are the
Vilas
or
Vaibhava Vilas? These are the Vaibhava Vilas, no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also in Lagu Bhagavatamrita it's mentioned all these forms are inherent in Krishna, which mostly you see in his childhood pastimes. So the Damodar form is seen in childhood.
Okay.
All the other aspects also you see in his childhood.
Okay. So whatever is the unique mood of Keshava and Narayan, like this?
Because they're all his expansion.
So you can see it just in a touch there. But same, they'll be permanently in that mood.
Same like with Lord Chaitanya, when he, when he's in childhood, then he manifested something. And then when he's in Mayapur, he manifested as Narasimha.
Okay.
Because it's inherent.
Okay, yes.
They are the original Swayam Rup, so also.
So everything's there, but it just has its particular point and flavor of that. While there, it'll be a full, permanent manifestation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And the predominating deity of the month of Falgun is Govinda. Vishnu is the predominating deity of Chaitra, and Madhusudana is the predominating deity of Vaishaka. In the month of Jaishta, the predominating deity is Trivikrama. In Ashara, the deity is Vamana. In Shravana, the deity is Sridhara. And in Bhadra, the deity is Rishikesha. In the month of Ashwin, the predominating deity is Padmanabha. And in Kartik is Damodar. This Damodar is different from Radha Damodar, the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. When putting the 12 tilak marks on the 12 places of the body, one has to chant a mantra consisting of these 12 Vishnu names. After daily worship, when one anoints the different parts of the body with water, these names should be chanted as one touches each part of the body. Right, so in putting tilak, you're chanting these names, and when you're doing the achman, then afterwards he says with water, then they do the same like that. Srila Prabhupada. While marking the body with tilak, one should chant the following mantra, which consists of 12 names of Lord Vishnu. Lalate Keshavam Dhyayan Narayanayam Narayanam Atodhare Vakshasthale Madhavam Tu Govindam Kanta Kupake Vishnum Cha Dakshine Kukshau Bahucha Madhusudanam Trivikramam Kandare Tu Vamanam Vama Parshvake Sridharam Vama Bahau Tu Rishikesham Tu Kandare Prishtecha Padmarabham Cha Katyam Damararam Nyaset.
Also the name Keshava is mentioned there. Keshava means killer of Keshi demon.
Ah.
So that's how Keshava is.
Ah, okay. When one marks the forehead with tilak, he must remember Keshava. When one marks the lower abdomen, he must remember Narayana. For the chest, one should remember Madhava, and when marking the hollow of the neck, one should remember Govinda. Lord Vishnu should be remembered while marking the right side of the belly, and Madhusudana should be remembered when marking the right arm. Trivikram should be remembered when marking the right shoulder, and Vamana should be remembered when marking the left side of the belly. Sridhar should be remembered while marking the left arm, and Hrishikesha should be remembered while marking the left shoulder. Padmanabha and Damodar should be remembered when marking the back. Yeah. So this is when you're putting on the tilak, not mixing it. Right? Because it said, Oh, because originally the white book, because they couldn't figure it out, well, we're Om Keshavaya, and then you have this and that, so then, you know, like that. Okay, chant this mantra when you're doing grinding, putting the tilak. Then when you put it, you do. That was his solution. But, you know, you just...
Yeah, it's clear from here.
Yeah.
I was quoting the Bhakta program that when you finish putting the tilak on the head, you chant Vasudeva. Vasudeva is on.
Yes, but that, this is for the tilak markings. That's not a tilak marking. There's no 13th tilak. It's just what's left in the hand after you wash your hand, then you put that.
So chanting Om Vasudevaya Namaha is false, or is this correct?
No, means it's not a tilak mark.
It's not a tilak mark.
It's just that when you have, then you can do that.
this is the rest of it.
It's just, it doesn't mean the rest of the tilak. It means after you cleaned off, put back on the ball, and then washed your hand, the water that's left, that goes on your sika. Not that you have chunks of tilak in your sika. But before, the tough brahmacharis, they had it.
This is boss.
Yeah. But no, you're supposed, you take that off and put it back on the ball, you know, like that. And then you wash your hand and then like that. Or learn to make it so that you, when you finish it, just perfectly does it. Or if you have extra, then put the names or something. Put some stamps, you know, like that. Put it on somebody else's back of their sika, you know, yeah, something. But yeah, it's domino. I mean, excuse me, vasu.
Vasu, that's correct. Vasu, when I check, that's what is correct.
Yeah, means your own vasudevayana.
So, that's why it's considered that you bind your the shika.
Yes.
That's
yeah, but you've done, and then you just like that. You know, it's just like after drinking the Charinamrita and you wash your hands, then that you put there also. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, from Vasudev, Sankarshan Prajumna, and Aniruddha, there are 8 additional pastime expansions. O Sanatana, please hear me as I mention their names. The 8 pastime... Okay, so the first ones were not pastime expansions. They're the lords of the months. But it says it's all their vilas forms.
They are also pastime, Maharaj. These ones specifically, they come as deities on earth, these 8.
Oh, okay. Okay. Pastimes expansions are Purushottama, Achyuta, Nisringa, Janardhanan, Hari, Krishna, Adhokshaja, and Upendra. Of these 8 expansions, 2 are pastime forms of Vasudeva. Their names are Adhokshaja and Padmanabha, Purushottam. They are of... Yes. The 2 pastime forms of Sankarsana are Upendra and Achyuta. The pastime forms of Prajumna are Nisringa and Janardana. And the pastime forms of Aniruddha are Hari and Krishna. All these 24 forms constitute the chief Prabhava Vilas pastime forms of the Lord. What was it? What was that? Prabhava Vilas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, they are manifesting their potency. Prabhupada, while explaining in the lecture, he said, Prabhava Vaibhava Vilas. So, and the whole thing at the end, he said, it's very complex.
Yeah, it's very complex. Yeah.
So, the unlimited manifestation.
Yeah, that's just that unlimited. Because the point is it, the one, Prabhava means it's you're looking at the potency aspect. Vaibhava, you're looking at the different kind of mood or color or form, so that they have different chakras and all that, and things like that. That will be that will have one mood, and then the other one will have you say one aspect. And does that make sense? Depends on what you're looking at. No? So that's why that we want to have it moving in this linear thing. It doesn't work out always so well.
Yes. Krishna is all the Lord.
Yes, they're all Krishna. It's so just a different mood, a different flavor, like this. And so, if it's a yeah.
From the one pastime of the Lord can come another manifestation of the Lord, will be more potent.
And generally, when they expand, they go down in potency. That's why the aspect of swamsa. So swamsa specifically goes down. But you see up to here, then everybody who's expanding, they're all the same.
Yes.
But there's going to be a difference in mood in the Tade Katma Rupa and in the Swayam Rupa. The expansion's there. Because in Goloka, Krishna doesn't think I am God.
Yes.
He is God, but he's not thinking that. But in the Tadekatma Rupa, they're thinking, I am God. Does that make sense? All these 24 forms constitute the chief Prabhava-vilas pastime forms of the Lord. They are named differently according to the position of the weapons in their hands. Of all these, the forms that differ in dress and features are distinguished as Vaibhava-vilas. Of them, Padmanabha, Trivikram, Nisringa, Vamana, Hari, Krishna, and so on, all have different bodily features. Right? So here it's shown them as Prabhava-vilas. Right? Vaibhava. But in the first part, it's saying Prabhav because they're expanding the manifesting potencies, because that's Chaturvyuha is known as potencies.
Yes, yes.
Then, but because there is the difference in the dress and the manifestation of the weapons, where they are, then that makes it the Vaibhava. Yes. That makes sense?
Yes.
So depending on which you're looking at. If you're looking at Chaturvyuha as... that Sankarshan then is, you know, potency, you know, he has those two, this one, this, like this, that's going to be Prabhav. But if you're looking at it, okay, then this one has Shankarchakra, Gada Padma, this one is Gada Padma, Shankarchakra, that's going to be Vaibhav.
Yes.
No?
Maybe, Maharaj, instead of the chart, we should put here 3D, and then we'll see more vivid. Otherwise, like you explained, linear, you have to use your imagination how you actually, you know, the whole thing happens. We need 3D.
Yes, but that's also even the same person. If you're looking at it this way, it's this, and you're looking at it that way, it's that.
Yeah.
Okay, let us say I'm explaining the flow of money.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if we're showing how the money is going up, we're talking about volume and profits.
Yeah.
If I'm talking about what money went where and what we did with what, that's called accounts.
Right.
But it's the same thing. It's the same money.
Yeah.
But generally, we'll think of them as two completely separate things, but they're actually dealing with exactly the same thing. So that's here, is that the Prabhav and Vaibhav, they're dealing with the same thing, but two features. If you're looking at it as the potencies, you know, the Chaturvyuha has these potencies, which we are generally talking about them, that's then going to be the Prabhav. But if we're talking about them, how they're dressing and how they're holding their weapons and all that, that will be the Vaibhav. Because it seems they're all pastime features. So everything is a pastime. Is that so? Okay. So like that, they're talking about the same thing. Yes.
Isn't it that it depends on our nature if we have more taste to look at the details, Bhava or Vaibhava, then because actually the super excellence of Krishna is involved, enjoying his different openness like a Gopa or Yashodananda.
Right.
Bhava, Vaibhava, it's a detail how we can approach.
It's there. It's a different. It's a different moods and all that. So you're bringing out that aspect that's there. So it has nothing to do with us and our taste. These are Krishna just saying what's happening, how we fit into that. That's another discussion that was had before with Rupa Goswami. Now you're just saying the facts of what things are. You know, just like I'd say the facts of how a particular preparation is made, then you may appreciate that particular preparation or not, but because you appreciate or not, it doesn't change the preparation. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Does that make sense? Like I remember we had a devotee here back in the 80s. He was working with us, very intelligent. And he was from northern Italy. And he said before coming to ISKCON, he only ate rice. You know? means all the sauces that we put on pasta, their region, they put all those sauces on rice.
It goes well on risotto.
Yeah, but this wasn't risotto. This was, you just boil rice, just like you boil pasta, you boil rice and put the sauce on top.
And bake?
No, just like that.
And cheese?
Huh?
Cheese?
Well, that they'll do. It's just that instead of pasta, you do whatever you do with pasta, you do with rice. Pasta is just what you put the stuff on.
Wow, but, interesting. And?
So I'm saying it's only when he came here. So for him, he didn't see what's the big deal about pasta. But that doesn't mean that it's not there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not about our taste. Here is just defining, Krishna's defining the position of God and his expansions. That's all. It has nothing to do with us. How we, then we may relate to them and have our taste and talk, that's there, but they're already set in this way. It's not about us. You know, it's like you go to the market, you know, you say you go into the clothes or into the mall. The stuff's there whether you like it or not, buy or not. But you may go and have your particular taste. You go into this shop or that shop. You know, and when you're in that shop, you buy this item or that item. But the item's already there. It's just explaining, this is what's there. This is the way it is. Does that make sense? So that's what we were talking before. That's the samasti aspect. It's Krishna view. How Krishna is everything. How he expands is everything. Then the vyasti is how we see that, how we perceive it, how we fit into that. It's two different views. You know, compatible, but... You know. So it's not because of us that this is going on. That's the point. Does that make sense? Yeah.
This is a good news.
Huh?
It's a good news.
Yeah, but for some they was, no, wait, I'm the center of everything. They don't know. But no, it's not, doesn't work like that.
I heard one lady, when she came into the shop, she was freaking out why they sell all that stuff she doesn't need.
So we should just throw out everything and just keep...
Yeah, just leave whatever she needs. Real life.
They could have a special little shop outside, just, you know, it has her stuff. And then see how popular that shop is.
Do you call that the Telawala?
Hmm?
We call that the Telawala who comes to your home to steal things.
The Telawala.
Means the ones who come in the small cycle, bicycle or something. They'll get you what you want. They'll have only what you want.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. You go there, not the shopping mall.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Of them, Padmanabha, Trivikrama, Narsingha, Vamana, Hari, and Krishna, and so on, all have different bodily features. Vasudeva and the three others are direct Prabhava manifest pastime forms of Lord Krishna. Of these quadruple forms, the pastime expansions are 20 in number. All these forms preside over different Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world, beginning from the east in consecutive order. In each of the eight directions, there are three different forms. Although they have their residences eternally in the spiritual sky, some of them are situated within the material universes. There is an eternal residence of Narayana in the spiritual sky. In the upper portion of the spiritual sky is a planet known as Krishna Loka, which is filled with all opulences. The planet of Krishna Loka is divided into three sections: Gokula, Mathura, and Dwarka. Lord Keshava eternally resides at Mathura, and Lord Purushottama, known by the name Jagannath, eternally resides at Nilachal. At Prayag, the Lord is situated as Midnu Madhava, and at Mandara Parvata, the Lord is known as Madhusudana. Vasudeva, Padmanabha, and Janardhan reside at Anandar Ranya. At Vishnu Kanchi, there is Lord Vishnu. At Mayapur, Lord Hari. And throughout the universe, a variety of other forms. Srila Prabhupada. All of these forms are Murti forms. They are worshipped in the temples. Their names are Keshava at Mathura, Purushottam at Jagannath or Nilachal, Sri Bindu Madhava at Prayag, Madhusudana at Mandara, and Vasudeva, Padmanabha and Janarda at Ananda Aranya, which is situated in Kerala, South India. You know that place? Anandaranya? Lord Chaitanya. And Hari is situated at Mayapur, Lord Chaitanya's birth site. Thus, in different places throughout the universe, there are various deities and temples bestowing their causeless mercy upon the devotees. All these deity forms are non-different from the murtis in the spiritual world of the Vaikunthas. Although the Archamurti, the worshipable deity form of the Lord, appears to be made of material elements, it is as good as the spiritual forms found in the spiritual Vaikuntha lokas. The deity in the temple, however, is visible to the material eyes of the devotee. It is not possible for one in material conditioned life to see the spiritual form of the Lord. To bestow causeless mercy upon us, the Lord appears as the Archamurti, so we can see him. It is forbidden to consider the Archamurti to be made of stone or wood. In the Padma Purana, it is said, Archye Vishnau Shiladir Gurushu Nara Matir Vaishnave Jati Budhir Vishnur Va Vaishnavanam Kalimala Matane Pada Tirte Bhu Budhi Shri Vishnur Namni Mantre Shakala Kalusha He Shabda Samanya Budhir Vishnau Sarveshvare She Tad Itara Samadhir Yasya va naraki sa. No one should consider the deity in the temple to be made of stone or wood, nor should one consider the spiritual master an ordinary human being. No one should consider a Vaishnav to belong to a particular caste or creed, and no one should consider Charinamrita or Ganges water to be like ordinary water, nor should anyone consider the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to be a material vibration. All these expanses of Krishna in the material world are simply demonstrations of the Lord's mercy and willingness to give facility to his devotees who are engaged in his devotional service within the material world.
Ajayanandaranga is Trivandrum itself. Both Adhikeshava and Antapadmanabha temple, they are the Padmanabha.
Vasudev Padmanabha, okay.
Then Adhikeshava is the Vasudev.
Okay, Janardana Vasudev, they're all there. That's Trivandrum, you said.
Trivandrum, and then this Adhikeshwar temple is almost like 60 kilometers away.
Okay, but it's that area.
Yeah, that's
so they're all situated there. Okay. Yes.
So, in each universe, we have one Vaikuntha planet, is that right? The Shvetadvipa of Kiradakshaya
Yes, Vishnu? Yes, like that. Though I think some places discussing that there's a second one also, but it's not prominent.
That is Loka.
Some say there are many.
It's in Loka.
That nobody can approach. The Shvetadvipa, which...
Shvetadvipa is approachable, but it says the one in Loka, so that no one can go there.
What is Ramapriya?
Yeah, that must be that one. That's a. As he's saying it's in Loka.
It's not in Loka, but going there.
Oh.
It is mentioned that this much distance from the Loka. It comes in the first Adi Leela only, when they're describing Nityananda Prabhu's glories.
Okay. Yeah, something about Lakshmi wanted another place.
Yeah.
Maybe too many demigods coming and
disturbing,
you know, hanging out on the beach or something. So.
So there are two.
Yes, but I'm saying we say there's one, because in any case there'll be expansions of that one anyway.
Dhruvaloka.
Shvetadvipa.
Shvetadvipa.
Yeah, it just means it has an milk ocean, so it's called Shvetadvipa. But because Dhruva is the king there, then it's called Dhruvaloka. Yes.
Also, then it's mentioned all the avatars, they have their planets. where they say in Laghu Bhagavata Amrita. Mm. So Kurma Diti, he is lying in Rasatara.
Mm.
That is his place. And in Matsya also, one planet. So
okay.
Narsingadev lies at 4 or 5 places in heavenly planets.
Mm.
In Maharloka, in Satyaloka, something like
that. Temporary,
that is about spiritual abode within a material world.
Yeah, because it's just like Hari lives here, and so then, you know, it's a transcendental realm.
So, Narsingadev stays at one place, Vamanadev stays at 4 places.
Oh, okay.
Because he is the Manvantara avatar also.
Mm.
Satyaloka he has a place, and he has a place in Swarga.
That's the Dham, it's not a planet as such.
Not necessarily, it's not necessarily a separate planet.
Yeah, it has
to be the Dham.
Okay.
The Dham or, like Tirtha or like whatever is the...
A place, it's not a planet. Because some mention that there are, you know, many Vaikuntha planets within the material universe.
No, these are Dhams.
Okay.
But there's officially one.
That's good.
Those are the universal management purpose. Then you approach only Vishnu. Mm. But these are the Leela avatars, so you don't go for universal problems to them.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, it's just like Vamana is there with Indra, but then they all go to Svetadvip. To, you know, they meet Brahma, and then from there they go to Svet. And Brahma lives with the thousand-headed Purusha, but they go to Svetadvip. So.
But Vamana also stays with Balimara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stays there. He stays with Indra.
Yeah. That's why he has
4 or 5
places.
Yes.
So he's.
Atala, Sutala. Yeah. So the point is there's the thing is that's why then there's some stuff that's mentioned it has its possession just to show that the Lord, you know, in other words, he's situated in everything. That's why everything works. But that's not you don't overemphasize that and say therefore there's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just misunderstanding.
Yeah, there's just one spiritual planet. Yeah, and everything, the universe rotates around that planet. But at the same time as that rotating, you need a spot for it to rotate from. So that's the Naimisharanya. That makes sense. So it's like a chandelier. You have there, and then you have you have the
Sushumna.
Yeah, the coming down like that, and all the other plants are connected to that thing, and then from there, then you get everything.
Yeah.
You know, they may be situated where they are, but they're connected to that through the ropes of wind and stuff
that. That's in the fifth canto.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why to get up to there, you have to cross over the Sushumna.
Mm-hmm.
All these expansions of Krishna in the material world are simply demonstrations of the Lord's mercy and willingness to give facility to his devotees who are engaged in devotional service within the material world. 220, 218. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Within the universe, the Lord is situated in different spiritual manifestations. These are situated on 7 islands in 9 sections. Thus, their pastimes are going on. Srila Prabhupada, the 7 islands are mentioned in Siddhanta Shiromani. The 7 islands, dweepers, are known as 1. Jambu, 2. Shaka, 3. Salmali, 4. Kusha, 5. Krauncha, 6. Gomeda and or Plaksha, and 7. Pushkara. The planets are called dweepas. Outer space is like an ocean of air. Just as there are islands in the watery ocean, these planets in the ocean of space are called dweepas, or islands in outer space. There are 9 khandas, known as 1. Bharata, 2. Kinara, 3. Hari, 4. Kuru, 5. Hiranyamaya, 6. Ramika, 7. Ilavrita, 8. Bhadrashva, and 9. Ketumala. These are different parts of Jambudvipa. A valley between two mountains is called a khanda or varsha.
Mark, nine khandas, all different parts of Jambudvipa?
Yeah, means of the first one, Jambu. So there's seven islands or seven dvipas. And then this Jambu, it has nine khandas. That's why we're on Bharata Khanda. We're on Bharata Khanda, and then within Bharata Khanda, we're on Bharata Varsha. So we can see Bharata Khanda, we can't see the other ones. Even though they may be next to each other and some connection. Like it says, the, what do you call it? A valley between two mountains is called a Khanda or Varsha. So you have the Himalayas, there'll be valley, but we can't see. So there's different. Yeah. Two twenty-three. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "The Lord is situated in all the universes in different forms just to please his devotees. Thus the Lord destroys irreligious principles and establishes religious principles. Of these forms, some are considered incarnations. Examples are Lord Vishnu, Lord Trivikramar, Lord Nrisimha, and Lord Vamana. My dear Sanatana, just hear from me as I tell you how the different Vishnumurtis hold their weapons, beginning with the disc, and how they are named differently according to the placement of the weapons in their hands. The procedure for counting begins with the lower right hand and goes to the upper right hand, the upper left hand, and then the lower left hand. So you start here, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. Lord Vishnu is named according to the order of the weapons he holds in his hand. According to the Siddhartha Samhita, there are 24 forms of Lord Vishnu. First, I shall describe, according to the opinion of that book, the location of the weapons, beginning with the disc. Srila Prabhupada. The 24 forms are 1. Vasudeva, 2. Sankarsana, 3. Prajumna, 4. Aniruddha, 5. Keshava, 6. Narayana, 7. Madhava, 8. Govinda, 9. Vishnu, 10. Madhusudan, 11. Trivikrama, 12. Vamana, 13. Sridhara, 14. Rishikesha, 15. Padmanabha, 16. Damodar, 17. Purushottama, 18. Achyuta, 19. Nrisimha, 20. Janardana, 21. Hari, 22. Krishna, 23. Adhokshita, and 24. Upendra. Okay. 220, 224, 2237. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. In his lower right hand, Lord Vasudeva holds a club. In the upper right hand, a conch shell. In the upper left hand, a disc. And in the lower left hand, a lotus flower. In his lower right hand, Sankarsana holds a club. In his upper right hand, a conch shell. In his upper left hand, a lotus flower. In his lower left hand, a disc. Prajumna holds the disc, conch, club, and lotus. Right, so a disc, conch, club, lotus. Aniruddha holds the disc, club, conch, and lotus. No, disc, club, conch, lotus. That, so there is a switch there. Thus, in the spiritual sky, the expansions headed by Vasudeva hold weapons in their own respective order. I am repeating the opinion of the Siddhartha Samhita in describing him. Lord Keshava holds the lotus, conch, disc, and club. Lord Narayana holds the conch, lotus, club, and disc. Lord Madhava holds the club, disc, conch, and lotus. Lord Govinda holds the disc, club, lotus, and conch. Lord Vishnu holds the club, lotus, conch, and disc. Lord Madhusudana holds the disc, conch, lotus, and club. Lord Trivikrama holds the lotus, club, disc, and conch. Lord Vamana holds the conch, disc, club, and lotus. Lord Sridhar holds the lotus, disc, club, and conch. Lord Rishikesha holds the club, disc, lotus, and conch. Lord Padmanabha holds the conch, lotus, disc, and club. Lord Damodar holds the lotus, disc, club, and conch. Lord Purushottama holds the disc, lotus, conch, and club. And Lord Achyuta holds the club, lotus, disc, and conch. Lord Nrisimha holds the disc, lotus, club, and conch. Lord Janardana holds the lotus, disc, conch, and club. Sri Hari holds the conch, disc, lotus, and club. Lord Sri Krishna holds the conch, club, lotus, and disc. Lord Adhokshaja holds the lotus, club, conch, and disc. Lord Upendra holds the conch, club, disc, and lotus. According to the Hayashusha Pancharatra, there are 16 personalities. I shall now describe that opinion of how they hold the weapons. Srila Prabhupada. The 16 personalities are as follows. 1. Vasudev. 2. Sankarsana. 3. Prajumna. 4. Aniruddha. 5. Keshava. 6. Narayana. 7. Madhava. 8. Govinda. 9. Vishnu. 10. Madhusudana. 11. Trivikrama. 12. Vamana. 13. Sridhara. 14. Hrishikesha. 15. Padmanabha. And 16. Damodara. Four is also good like that. Okay, so you do the 4, then you do the 12, then you do the 8. And so here they're just counting the 4 and the 12. 220, 238 to 242. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Keshava is described differently as holding the lotus, conch, club, and disc. Madhava is described as holding the disc, club, conch, and lotus in his hands. According to Hayashirsha Pancharatra, Narayana and others are also presented differently as holding the weapons in different hands. Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, indicated as the son of Maharaj Nanda, has two names. One is Swayam Bhagavan, and the other is Lila Purushottama. Lord Krishna personally surrounds Dwarkapuri as its protector. In different parts of the city, in 9 places, he expands in 9 different forms. The 9 personalities mentioned are Vasudev, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Narayan, Nrisimha, Hayagriva, Varaha, and Brahma. Srila Prabhupada. This verse is found in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita 1.4.4.4.51. Mm. Yeah? Yeah? That many verses?
The Paravasta description is very big.
The Brahma mentioned herein is not a living entity. Sometimes when there's a scarcity of living entities take charge of Brahma's post, Mahavishnu expands himself as Lord Brahma. This Brahma is not considered to be a living entity. He's an expansion of Vishnu. 220, 243 to 244. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. I have already described the pastime and prakash forms. Now please hear about the different personal expansions. The first personal expansion is Sankarsana, and the others are incarnations like the fish incarnation. Sankarsana is an expansion of the Purusha or Vishnu. The incarnations such as Matsya, the fish incarnation, appear in different yugas for different pastimes. Okay, so we'll probably stop here because we'll only get a few sentences. Any questions on that? Or no, we're good. What?
After the class, I can ask you because something related with the.
No, it had to be. You have 30 seconds. Because mm-hmm. after the class, I have other things I have to do.
Okay. Sorry. I was, by curiosity, I was watching one TV series called Vidyadatta Ganesh. They present Lord Shiva as to be the supreme controller in the universe. Shrimati Parvati to be the supreme mother of the universe. And sometimes you can see that Lord Shiva is glorifying Lord Hari. And so my first question, this is related only to the faith. To one Purana, which is describing the different faith that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he's maintaining when they worship different demigods, he's maintaining that faith. So,
It's like, let's say, here in Mayapur, then you have the manager, right? And then you have, let's say, the guest house. And somebody's in charge of the guest house. So for those in the guest house, he's the supreme manager. Does that make sense? So in that way, Shiva is the Lord of the universe because it's him and his wife who take care of it. But they're not the supreme of all, because the people who say this, they don't know anything beyond the material manifestation. They don't know anything beyond Mahatattva. They have absolutely no clue. So they don't know. Just like you see Narad Muni, he was surprised when Brahma started talking about there's someone superior to him. He always thought he was the head of everything. And he explains, no, I'm working under Vishnu. That's in second canto of Bhagavatam.
About a discussion between
Narad Muni and Brahma.
Brahma.
Yeah, because at first Brahma thought, oh, but I thought you were the head of everything. He says, no, above me is Vishnu. So you can have that perspective, but it's not the absolute truth. What we're giving, that's the absolute. And anything everybody else says, what do we care?
Second question.
Going to be as quick as the first.
We see Lord Shiva is always meditating.
Yes.
Is he meditating in Lord Sankarshan?
Yes. That's what it says in Bhagavatam. Mm.
So Lord Sankarshan has a form?
Vishnu always has a form.
Mm-hmm. And this is Sankarshan related with the Vaikuntha planet or with the Goloka planet?
That means the Chaturvyuha that we were just discussing. Sankarsana means that one. That
Chaturvyuha.
One. Yeah, because he's expanding from him. So he's worshipping his source. Okay? Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.